everyone. Thank you for joining us again on another great edition of Talking Takes. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, good or bad, rain, snow, whatever, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a great one for you again this week, folks. Got some LSU baseball news to go over. Got men's and women's basketball Final Four updates for you, and as well as anything else that's out there we could talk about. We'll cover that for you today. Before we do, I want to check in with the co-hosts, see how they're doing. Hopefully had a good week. We're down to the – well, we know who won the women's. South Carolina took it home. But men's still to be decided. We're going to talk about that. But hope you all had a good week, and happy to discuss it with you.
Yeah, good to be with you. Good to be talking about, little championship pregame, postgame sandwich between the men's and women's. Got a little bit of LSU news, got some football, got some baseball, got all kinds of stuff. So happy to get into it with you.
Yeah, doing well, Scott. Thanks. I had a nice weekend. Went down to Miami, was on the beach. A lot of people out and about in the nice weather down there. The weather wasn't as fair for LSU baseball, which is too bad, but things rolling on. And with the spring weather, we got the spring football game coming up this weekend. So that always gives a little pop to the April to May schedule and gives people something to look forward to. So, yeah, happy to break that all down with you.
Absolutely. And as we said, it's plenty to go over. We got LSU baseball, which is, man, completely different. Women's basketball didn't finish the season on, the best note. But, hey, they at least followed up their championship year in a respectable fashion. I would say men's baseball is – or just – we're having a real – it's a struggle bus, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just not good. Now – Jay Johnson kind of churned things up this week, made a new rule. No cell phones.
No phones.
No phones.
How'd that work out for
Alex
us?
Box. Yeah. And you know what? for that first game on Thursday, it seemed like it worked. Tigers.
Yeah, you're right. Like I watching that first one, I listened to it on the radio mostly and then watched the end that, saw the thing about the phones. Holman comes out pitching pretty well. I mean, we're winning. I'm like, okay, all right. No phones. I like it. Maybe I'll put my phone away. Then what happened?
Right. Vanderbilt got a call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they got a call on their phone and we couldn't even see it. We didn't even have our phones.
Mm-mm. No, because Vanderbilt took that next one. And then just unfortunately Tigers got run rolled, which they have fairly often this season. In at least one of these games, if not more. But, yeah, Vandy takes the series. And I don't know. I think we are who we think we are or something, however Dennis Green would say it. But definitely not the team like last year. We knew that. But I'd say we – at this point, I think we're hoping and praying that we're not going to turn out like the last two SEC champions where it was Mississippi State and Ole Miss where they won it one year, couldn't even sniff the playoffs the next year. So I'm afraid that's what we – I don't know if that's what we're looking at, but you guys feel free to talk me back from that that ledge. But that's – I don't know. I feel like that's what we're looking at.
I think you're totally right. I think that – I mean – This Vanderbilt series was a key one for us because I felt like they're the number 7 team in the country. I think we're number 18 now. Of course, you start the season at number 2 in the nation, right?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think it gets much easier. We've talked about it. The SEC – now you're down. You've lost all three of your series in the SEC so far. I think the competition is going to stay the same. You play like this, maybe we win a couple series, but still, like you're not going. You're not well. You're going to get if you get lucky and you go on a run. Maybe you host a regional. You're not hosting a super regional, and I mean, you're not going to, don't book your tickets to Omaha, people. Come on. Like, find something else to do in early June.
Well, the initial signs in the first couple SEC series were rough around the edges, but there was some promise there. And now it's to the point where you gotta put a tourniquet on the wound because the bleeding just won't stop. And the SEC season is almost halfway over. They played 10 series and we've done four so far, which we've lost all four.
We played four series? I thought we only played three.
Because it was Mississippi State first, then Florida, then Arkansas.
Oh, then Arkansas. Then, okay, yes.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt. So next week we go to Tennessee, who is another like top 15 opponent, and that's the midway point. So we're very realistically looking at halfway through the SEC season, not winning a single series, which is pretty shocking for the defending national champion. And it's both sides of the ball. We saw this past weekend against Vanderbilt, every single pitcher, including Luke Holman, basically got taken for a ride, except for Griffin Herring, who held it together in the game one to at least salvage that one, because Holman was pitching well. And then just, it took off and they were hitting home runs. Yeah. And Jay Johnson left him in too long and they scored six runs, and it turned a 9-0 game into a 9-6 kind of sweat fest real quick. And we've seen the story before where we play well in one game and the next one, we find a way to lose a close one. And that was the Friday game where we had a key error by Michael Braswell, allowing two runs to come across at the very end. Vanderbilt takes the lead and then we couldn't find the bats to get a run back. And then just absolutely dominated in the last one when we got run ruled for the third time in SEC play, which is honestly pretty embarrassing. You got to put something out there.
I drive by that box almost pretty much on a daily basis. And, you know, you see the big thing. It's like the big sign. It's like the powerhouse of college baseball. I'm like, I don't know if the powerhouse of college baseball gets run ruled more times than not.
Mm-hmm. Powerhouse putting up like two runs a game. And it continues to be like solo home runs, lack of consistent hitting, a few errors in the field, like overthrows, and mistakes on routine ground balls, a few miscues between like Jared Jones and the catcher at first base when the bag was left uncovered. I saw that. And then the pitching just not super consistent. Maybe we were spoiled last year with Paul Skeens and Ty Floyd and the rest of the gang. And this is, I guess, a return to the normal, but it's like, why can't we put one guy out of the bullpen in there to get an out? It just seems no matter who Jay Johnson turns to, they get just worked over.
Well, we definitely were spoiled last year. We're just uber talented, had so much going right for us. And I mean, look at what Paul Skeens is doing in AAA. On Friday night, I think I looked at it Friday night, so I don't know if he pitched this weekend, but on Friday night, he had, I think, two starts, something like that, with 12 strikeouts or something like, you know what I mean? Like, he's basically, he hasn't stopped, and he's moved on to you know, one step below the big leagues. So he really was, you know, as good as we saw, as good as advertised, all of that. You can't replace that. It's like he was like Burrow. I mean, he had Dylan Cruz too. He had Trey Morgan. We've talked about this. But I think also, I mean, this team is underperforming. They have talent. This is not a weak team, but they're playing very weak right now. Mm-hmm. And they're not playing. It's, in a lot of ways, it doesn't feel like they're playing smart or it's not a real gritty team. At least that I've seen so far. I don't know. It's just disappointing. It's very disappointing to watch.
Okay. But is it like Ole Miss's run when they won it, where they do, you know, they're kind of trudging through the season and then they just turn it on towards the end and they power through the postseason and come away with the title? Like, do you think that's our capability, or are we just like really that depleted that we're just, you know, just kind of like a Tommy White and a few others highlight reel, and that's about it.
Scott, you've got a good point. Maybe they're taking a cue from Thatcher Hurd's playbook. The entire team has taken on the Thatcher Hurd persona, and they're going to be terrible through the regular season, squeak into the postseason, and get us to Omaha, and then be world beaters.
Yep.
I don't know if I'd bet on that, but it could, I mean, could happen.
Could, yeah.
I think with the talent we have and what we've shown so far, yeah, we can make the postseason. I would hope maybe they give us a sympathy bid in there, but and then hopefully challenge for a regional at somebody else's house, most likely. But I don't see the pitching depth that you need to really run the tables in the super regional or in Omaha. And look, like you mentioned, Tommy, we just don't seem to have that clutch factor that we did last year, where every game almost was competitive. Like, we would always kind of pull something out in the bottom of the ninth or whatever. And this time it's just, you're sending three guys up there and you already know that they're going to go almost three up, three down, or we get the runners on first and third, one out, and boom, you just know they're going to ground into a double play. And then you watch it play out right before your eyes. And you're like, well, there goes another chance. So they need to find some sort of spark, but I think a lot of people may already be looking for us next year, which is sad to say, considering we're less than 12 months removed from a national championship.
Yeah.
Well, the hangover is real. I mean, it happened to Ole Miss, happened to Mississippi State. Maybe it's we're just due for it.
That, yeah. And you can look at the midweek games and kind of see why, because LSU used to be pretty solid with that. You know, I'd say used to win 90% then last few years of the Paul Maneri, first few years of Jay Johnson, maybe 60-40. Now it feels like it's tilted the other way, you know. So we got, like you said, we got Tennessee next weekend on the road. When we have McNeese Tuesday at the box, like, not even that's like, I wouldn't say a given, but whatever the next great down would be, it's not even like a 50-50 shot anymore, you know.
Well, I mean, I think panic button, pull the red lever, all of that, hit, you know, break glass was when you lose to Southern on your own field. That's when everything's thrown out the window. So,
true. Oh, well.
And you know, Vitella is going to have, he's smelled blood in the water.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, he's been okay. I mean, they've definitely lost some games. Like, they're not like they were, what was it, 2-3 years ago, where they were just, they had that amazing year, which still fell up short, but they're still not that same Tennessee.
It feels like he's always kind of had LSU's number.
Right.
I mean, yeah. They beat us in the Super Regional?
Yeah, Super Regional 2 years ago. They beat us badly.
And then I'm pretty sure they beat us last year in regular season.
But we beat them in the World Series.
That's true. We got two.
Well, that's true.
We had to beat them, back to back.
Yeah.
Once we lost to Wake Forest. But yeah. So it's going to be tough. At this point, we're just cheering for one series win. Who can it be? I think we got Missouri on the schedule in a couple weeks, and they're like the bottom of the barrel. So maybe that one.
There you go.
So circle those Missouri dates, count down the days. Should be exciting.
Yeah. Sweep would be nice. Just to make up for something.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Just to put that, make that number on the left side of the record go up a little bit.
Exactly. So did you guys see the action in Starkville, Duty Noble Field, MSU in Georgia? Crazy.
I saw a little bit of it. Yeah.
I didn't even hear about this at all. So you might have explained.
So, you know, just your typical baseball game, still pretty close, but there was a play at the plate, and Mississippi State's catcher, sorry, I forget his name, I think it was Jason something, he caught the ball, and he was kind of blocking the plate. Georgia guy was just trying to dive, see if he could touch home plate without, you know, getting a good solid tag, and he tried, called out, but then the Mississippi State catcher just kind of stood over him and, you know, like taunted him.
Yep.
And the umpire just was like grabbing him, pulling him aside. Benches cleared. And I don't know, it was weird. The umpires, as well as the SEC home office, because I guess they had a lot to say about this, because they were looking at video footage to see who to eject. But they ejected a lot of people because people left the benches because they thought they're just coming out to fight. But most of them are just separating, you know? So it's like they ejected a lot of people, but a lot of it was specific to guys in uniform. There's a lot of Georgia players that had hoodies on and they didn't get ejected because they weren't playing. Oh, they're just separating people. You know, it's just very bizarre how arbitrary it was. But yeah, crazy into the baseball game. Georgia ended up taking it with a home run. Ironically, one of the guys that they didn't eject to was he'd almost crossed like home plate yelling. And the guy that ended up hit the home run for Georgia. It was just bizarre scene. I don't know. Sure, I didn't know if you guys heard about it, but man, just
I saw the highlight. I saw the highlights and saw like the ending. Yeah. But it was kind of crazy. I felt just a really stupid taunt from that catcher.
Right.
Like I didn't really get that. And I mean, it wasn't even like it went on way too, I don't know. It felt like it went on like too long where, you know, it wasn't a back and forth thing. It was like the Georgia guy got tagged. The catcher taunts him, and the guys on the ground kind of looking up at the catcher, like, okay, like what are you doing? And he keeps going and going and going. And then the Georgia player didn't even really like do anything before the umpire had already come in and pushed the catcher out of the way. And then that's kind of when the benches kind of cleared. I mean, I don't think Scott were punches thrown. I don't think so.
I don't think so, no. But the thing that's, I guess, most, I guess, what do you call it, insult on top of injury is Mississippi State had, like, half their team ejected, so they can't play in the next, you know, couple of games or so. So it's just very bizarre how it's, like, one team got severely punished and one team barely at all, really.
Yeah.
So
I guess you can thank hoodies for that.
I know, right? It's just it had such a negative connotation, but not in baseball. That's a complete exoneration if you have a hoodie on. If you're just running on the field when there's a fight on, you're good to go. Word to the wise. Anyway, SEC baseball is still SEC baseball across the board. Stuff like that's happening. So, we'll see what LSU does this week. I don't know. I think it's pretty much a crapshoot from here on out, but I don't know. I can't imagine that Jay Johnson, maybe she's taken longer to figure out the right combination because maybe we really were severely depleted, but I mean, it's just hard to believe it'd be such a complete loss, like such a downshift from the previous season. Like we'd said earlier, like from the previous two champions with Mississippi and Mississippi State.
Yeah. And the unfortunate thing is we got a lot of elder classmen in this year's team. So a lot of them might be leaving and we have another rebuilding year next year, but we'll leave that for when it happens. We can focus on other stuff right now. Basketball, football.
Growing pains. Yeah. Football. So, I mean, there's, you know, football's always going along, chugging along. Recruiting otherwise. But some legal news coming out of Baton Rouge. Trey Holly, grand jury decided not to charge him with, second degree murder. I believe it was
murder.
Yeah. So he does have another charge, you know, not, I guess, unlawful possession of a weapon or, you know, a couple other things. But man, I'm sure he's relieved. Still don't know what that does, what that means for him with LSU and the program, but still some other personal things to sort out there. So you definitely wish him well on that, but I don't know if he's necessarily in the clear because until everything's said and done legally, I don't even know what that means for him as far as the school program, whatever. But
well, I guess
that's a plus, right?
Yeah. Well, Brian Kelly said that Holly is still eligible as an LSU online student as we speak, and would be welcome back to the team if he got cleared of the charges, which is an interesting thing to say of a guy who's still accused of a felony and has to go through the legal proceedings. But they also said that his case could be cleared up within the month, which is seemingly very rapid for especially the Louisiana legal system. So we'll see what happens with that. He's still a charge with one felony count of illegal use of a weapon. And the guy did get shot in Trey Holly's house, I believe, or at least he was there. So
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to weasel his way out of this one, but
well,
maybe they're making some calls.
it wouldn't be the, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm sure there are making calls, because it wouldn't be the first time that in Northeast Louisiana, a Division I SEC football player has been absolved of felony gun possession prior to the SEC season. I mean, don't you remember Cam Robinson and who was the other guy with him?
Hootie Jones.
Cam Sims. Cam Sims. Yeah, Cam Sims and Cam Robinson both played for Alabama, both at one time, both Wichita players. Cam Robinson ended up graduating from West Monroe. But anyways, I think it was like the summer before their sophomore year at Bama, were caught in a car with a gun. It was like an illegal gun or something like that. And I mean, it was like a similar thing. It was like a felony. I don't think even the gun was ever like even discharged, but they were, you know, in the car with the gun. And then I remember Saban came to town, and obviously Saban has maybe a little more stroke than Brian Kelly does, but Saban came to town and those charges disappeared. I think the quote was something like, you know, it was just a wrong place, a wrong time for some players who have a lot of opportunity before them, or something like that. So, you know, Trey Holly, he's the high school rushing leader, showed some flashes last year. He's got a lot of opportunity before him. I don't see why the DA shouldn't give him the Cam Robinson, Cam Sims exemption.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets a pad.
Should.
Yeah, when you can rush for 5,000 yards in high school, you know, I think maybe you do. I don't know. I'm just asking questions here.
He will probably not be appearing in the spring game on Saturday. We'll say that. maybe back in time for the regular season.
Right. Yeah, I'm guessing he's not. He will not be ready to go on Saturday at the L Club game.
No. But other than that, did we talk about women's basketball? I thought we.
Well, they had the national championship today, which South Carolina closed out against Iowa. So Iowa loses back-to-back national championship games, which is kind of disappointing. And yeah, the Carolina completes their perfect season. LSU, we had two shots at it, but couldn't get it done. So I guess congrats to the Gamecocks on that one. Also, I don't know if y'all saw that apparently the most bet thing about the championship game was Caitlin Clark, how many total points she was going to score. It was 31.5 was the line. And most people had the under, and she scored 30. So she held for the bettors by 1 point. So couldn't put in two more. Wish LSU could have held her to less than 41, but yeah, so that's a wrap. And then they had the two men's Final Four games last night. The big one seeds, UConn and Purdue, both got the job done. So that sets up a big championship matchup tomorrow. I don't know if anybody had any takes on that.
I felt like Connecticut kind of came out a little flat. Bama held their own for most of the game.
It was a close game.
NC State, I felt like, was just overpowered by Purdue.
Yeah.
But
it was sad that their magical run ended. Zach Edey got the best of Big 30, DJ Burns.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, the guy's 7'4" and can move around the court pretty well. So yeah, unfortunate for NC State. I liked watching them play, but they really were kind of outclassed. Okay, who do y'all like tomorrow night?
I think I got to stick with UConn. I picked them to win the championship before the game, before the tournament started, and I'm still with them. They just seem like the most solid team, top to bottom, offense and defense. And they have one of their star players, Donovan Klingon, who's 7'2", so he's not quite Zach Edey's size, but I feel can give him at least a little bit of problems. And then they have more solid guard play all around. But I can definitely see Purdue doing it, and I'm kind of cheering for them a little bit. My brother's a Purdue alum, so he's been on the boiler train the whole way.
Yeah, I have a vested interest in Connecticut winning. I kind of need them to win to make my to make my March Madness. I'm not going to say profitable, but make it less of a bleed. Sure. But I think they'll probably get it done, because I think you're right, Daniel. I think they're more of a complete team. And I mean, their guard play is very good. The 7'2 guy that you mentioned, like, I think, you know, Purdue, it seems like everything goes through Edie. They're rebounding, their defense, and he swats everything. Whereas UConn has more of a kind of, they could play in the perimeter, they can play in the inside, all that. But I could see Purdue winning it because like I said, I feel like they came out a little flat against Alabama. It wasn't the dominant game that you saw in the Elite Eight that Connecticut had. So I'm gonna pick UConn just because I need UConn to win. But either way, you know, it should be good.
Sure. And I think since we last talked, didn't LSU basketball? Did we cover this? I don't think we covered it last week, but LSU basketball got a transfer also. Victorious Miller committed to LSU. So McMahon train still rolling on. I mean, season's over, obviously. It didn't finish like we wanted, but still positive news coming out of that, which is good.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the commitment from top 100 prospect Victorious Miller. It kind of reminds me of when he had the commitment from that football recruit, Dakoldis Crawford.
Right.
Just like weird names. But I guess if he can play, then good. He had been committed to Oregon before he switched to LSU. So maybe Matt McMahon has got a little something cooking. We improved slightly this year. So if he can build even more next year, then that's good. He's got three, I think, top 100 recruits for this class. So that's more than he can say for the past two ragtag crews.
Yeah.
Also just a note for LSU fans. Did you see that Will Wade is like being talked about pretty heavily as maybe the next Arkansas coach?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, gosh, I hope that doesn't happen. Although, I mean, I think we talked about this going into this season, like with Will, or when McNeese was having as good a year as they were, talking about, yep, there's probably going to be a day where Will Wade comes back to the PMAC and is coaching against us and will beat us. So,
right.
Because Eric Musselman, who was Arkansas's coach and had led them to a lot of success over the last few years, this was kind of a down year, but yeah, he got hired to USC. So they have a vacancy and it would kind of make sense. I mean, Will Wade, he said he doesn't really harbor any ill will towards LSU, but you would think that if given the chance to beat him, like, he'd probably take it. And McNeese bumped his contract up, but they can't compete with what Arkansas can offer in terms of money and resources and talent. So it'd be interesting to see him on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would throw the message boards into a tizzy.
I think not loving that, but I mean, it's bound to happen. He's not going to stay at McNeese for that long.
No, probably not. I mean, look at the guy, the coach for, what was it? Was it Auburn? Sorry. I wanted to say
Bruce Pearl.
Thank you. Bruce Pearl. Yeah, I mean, like, these guys run into these things. Some guys bounce back pretty quickly and can just start over again. So, I mean, all he needs is a chance, right?
Oh, yeah.
The SEC has been not shy at all about giving guys chances. Second chances, I should say. But anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think he's bound. And then also, I mean, basically he's pretty much been cleared, and what he did, like what he did, doesn't, isn't even illegal anymore. I really wish if Scott Woodward was very bold and brash, he would just rehire him. I don't know if Will Way would take it. I would make that, like, I would, it's almost like sending him to McNeese as like the minor league, like a rehab team. Kind of like how what we used to do. I feel like we don't do. You don't hear this as much, but I mean, like, I feel like in the late, maybe this was a Mineri thing, the late 2010s, some of the top baseball players who just weren't, like, in the state, who weren't quite good enough to make LSU's roster, like year one, would go to LSU Eunice and play for a year or two, and then transfer in. And it was basically like the LSU, like, minor league team. LSU's, like, one of the great players from the, like, late 2010s, Rafe Rimes. He did that and then ended up being like a star for LSU in his, I think, what, junior and senior season, or maybe sophomore and junior season. Anyways, I wish that like that was like the under the table deal with Will Wade is like, look, man, we're going to let you go. You're going to go to McNeese and go coach them, and then we'll hire you back again. I would love that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
So that's my story.
That's your story.
Let's get inside.
Anything else in the wide world of sports?
Like we talked about the football spring game, if we wanted to talk about that for just a minute, coming up this Saturday.
What do y'all want to see out of what are you looking for in this spring game?
I think the big question, well, it's not even really a question mark because we saw it in the bowl game with kind of Garrett Nussmeier and the new offense taking over for Jaden Daniels. So we got a taste of that. And then the thing that people are always interested in is like the freshmen and the transfers. So the big transfer names be like CJ Daniels, wide receiver from Liberty, and Jardine Gilbert, safety transfer from Texas A&M. They'll probably be plug and play starters. So we'll get to see them match up. And yeah, just the connection between CJ Daniels and Kyron Lacy is kind of our new wide receiver 1 and 2 with Garrett Nussmeier after having to replace Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas on the outside. And then just, some flashes from basically any signs of life on the defense, because that was our undoing last year, to see what new defensive coordinator Blake Baker is cooking up for us. So I think people want to see his scheme as well.
I want to see Perkins. I want to see where he's playing. I want to see if he's going to spend the majority of his time behind the line and like middle in a middle linebacker position. I want to see if he's going to play more of that flex edge rusher role. I want to see the running backs who goes out there. I'm interested. And I mean, I know you can't really, you're not going to take, it's not like seeing the first snap of like a real game, but and depending on how they do it, or if they're going to do first team offense versus first team defense, or they split it up, kind of evenly, who knows? But I want to see who's the running back running with Nussmeier to start out with, like who's kind of considered that number one back in this spring, because we got a lot of guys, but not a clear, this is the guy. Defensively, let's just see if the defensive backs can have any kind of talent at all. We need somebody who can kind of cover a little bit.
Right. And that's what I was thinking is what Daniel said and what you said as well. Yeah, you'd love to see the offense look great, put up some points, but like you'd also wanted to see the defense show some improvement too. Blake, I imagine that's what Blake Baker's asked about. He said he was asked most about, how is he going to use Harold Perkins? So TBD on that, I guess. But yeah, it's like you want to see LSU offense move the ball and put up some great plays. But yeah, maybe the defense gives up a play here and there as they're growing, learning, going through some pains. But if we just limit it to field goals, I'd say that could be okay too.
I was going to say, there's nothing to look forward to. Like when we had Derek Stingley coming in as the true freshman and he pulls it in the interception in the spring game and got everybody fired up for that season. I don't know if there's that type of true freshman.
We were at that game, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. It was very hot, yeah. I think. But you said that. We'll see if any freshmen make a big impact and can get the people excited for this upcoming fall.
Right on. All right. Well, we'll definitely have that for you next week, as long as anything else, including LSU baseball scores, hopefully for the better, even though we're on the road in Knoxville. God bless our players there, because, that's a raucous crowd. Jay Johnson's not too fond. Oh, that was Maneri. That's not too fond of him. Imagine Jay Johnson wouldn't be either. Anyway, good luck to them. We'll have it for you here next week, as well as the results on the men's Final Four results between UConn and Purdue. So check back in with us. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigers.